Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Please be seated. We've gone from the Passover lamb sacrificed for us at the Pascha to the Good Shepherd, the great shepherd of the sheep, our Lord Jesus Christ. The lamb has become the shepherd, the good shepherd, and we have become, as we sing in the Venite of Matins, the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. We have been given to the good shepherd by the Father himself. We were given to Christ in holy baptism through the work of the Holy Spirit. But before baptism, we did not belong to Christ, but to the prince of this world. But in holy baptism, we were united with Christ in his death and resurrection. The shepherd sacrificed himself for the sheep in order that the sheep might live. He gives us eternal life. But we often wonder how secure we really are. Our age is an age of insecurity. Following the events of 9/11, our government established the Bureau of Homeland Security. And as you all know, a great many changes have taken place in travel via the airlines. There is much more scrutiny given to passengers than before and to our luggage. Not even an Indiana congressman, my representative, is allowed to carry a loaded weapon on board an airliner. We've locked the cockpit doors. We've begun arming pilots. We've spent millions upon millions of dollars on elaborate machinery to scan our baggage and our clothing. If you fly into Reagan National Airport in Washington, D.C., you will be informed that you will not be allowed out of your seat a full 30 minutes before the flight arrives. You'll be arrested if you do. And yet many people don't feel more secure as they travel. There are those nagging questions raised by the media that there are lapses in security. We wonder. We hope, but our confidence is not 100%. There doesn't seem to be much security about other parts of our lives either. Some of you going out on vicarage, those of you receiving your calls. In spite of the tremendous advances in medicine, we still fall victim to cancer, heart disease, diabetes, and a long list of other diseases and maladies. In spite of spending an ever larger percentage of our incomes for health care, it usually doesn't translate into enhanced security. Even in the church, there's a great deal of insecurity. Some in our synod wring their hands about the lack of spectacular numerical growth. Perhaps we'll be left behind. Perhaps other denominations will reach the harvest of souls we think are just waiting for us to gather up. Some congregations have gone so far as to dismiss their pastors because under the leadership of said pastor, the congregation did not achieve a certain percentage of growth. Seminary officials look at income and outgo and perhaps feel a great deal of insecurity over institutional stability. And of course, we pastors begin to feel rather insecure in light of all of that. We wince when one of our brothers finds himself on the receiving end of the hostility of parishioners. We worry when congregations withhold our pay or threaten us with other disturbing actions. All of it feeds our sinful insecurity. And we may even begin to doubt whether the Church of Jesus Christ will survive. Perhaps our synod will not survive. But the Holy Christian Church will survive. We know that. But we feel insecure nonetheless. It is nothing new. Luther said in a sermon in 1534, "Now the world and the devil are the enemies of the Word. The Pope especially kills the servants of the Word and tries with all his might to smother the Word totally, causing the devout shepherds to suffer and at times give their lives. It is at times like this that we need to hear our Good Shepherd's voice anew. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand." We need to hear that not only with our intellects, but also with our hearts. For it is seldom our intellects that give us the trouble, because we know the right answers. It is our sinful selves that trouble us most. We are quite often unbelieving and untrusting. We doubt that our Good Shepherd will take care of us. Unbelief makes us the prey of the predators of the faith, the fierce wolves. Unbelief, when used in connection with sheep, is usually described as a wandering away, a straying, a gradual thing. It isn't that we're like that little Boston Terrier in the allergy medicine commercial who runs away from his owner because her allergies are making him miserable too. No, we slowly wander away from our Good Shepherd until we can no longer hear his voice. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. Our shepherd, however, has not failed us. We have failed him. We have wandered away from him because we have preferred our own distorted ways. We have not obeyed his voice. We need to repent. We need to drown the old Adam in the waters of baptism. In spite of our sinful wandering, our good shepherd continues to seek us out. He has placed us into the Holy Christian Church, his sheep pen, and here he cares for us. Only within the Holy Christian Church can we find security. It is never out there, away from him. It is never within ourselves, never within our feelings, but only where he is. Only as we listen to his voice do we have the promise of his protection. Our catechumens are regularly asked, "Where is Christ?" I allow only one correct answer. He is wherever his word and sacraments are. Don't ever say he's in your heart. And so his protection is not some kind of generic protection of the Bapticostals, but a security that is found as we listen to his voice in the Word and receive him in his holy sacraments. By these gifts, Christ keeps us secure. Our Lord Jesus is not powerless to prevent your demise. Indeed, he is the victor over sin, death, and hell. He has robbed hell itself of its power to condemn and to kill. He is the one with power and strength, as we just sang. And all of that power, all of that strength, he places into his word and sacraments. He puts his word to work for us, just as Luther teaches us to ask over and over again in the small catechism, "Where is this written?" Luther teaches us to locate the voice of our good shepherd, and then he urges us to believe this voice. The words, "For you," require us to trust in our hearts all that Christ has promised us. Your security is really a matter of the doctrine of election, but election may never be viewed all by itself. It really must be viewed as one of the facets of the gospel itself, for God has not only called you by the gospel and given you his gifts, but he also preserves you by this same gospel. And by it he brings you to eternal life and the blessedness of the nearer presence of Christ. Here in the gospel is the voice of your good shepherd. Here he does everything to keep you safe. Here he nourishes you with his body and blood. Here are the green pastures and the still waters of which David speaks. Even when it may seem to us that there is no security in this world, and maybe even in the visible church, the voice of our good shepherd comes once more into our ears. He speaks to us in grace yet again this morning. He calls us back to himself. We hear his voice, and we follow him. He gives us eternal life, and we can be sure that no one is able to snatch us out of his hand. To be in his hand is to be in the Father's hand, because he and the Father are one. That's security, real security. Not even the gates of hell can prevail against us, because our good shepherd guards and protects us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus.